now a different conversation about conflicting visions of faith. When you think about somebody coming out of the closet, you might think of gays and lesbians choosing to disclose their sexual identities, for example. But writer Ada Calhoun says she recently came out of a different closet. For years, she chose to downplay or hide her religious faith. But now she's coming out loud and proud as a Christian, and she joins us to talk about it and the article she wrote about this for the online publication Salon.com. Welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I don't know how loud you're going to be.
I know. I was going to say not very loud.
Not very loud.
Proud,
but. Okay. But for some people, I'm sure that this piece probably seems absurd. Mm-hmm. I mean, you live in a majority Christian country. You don't live under a repressive anti-religious regime. This is not North Korea. So I think a lot of people would wonder, how is it possible that you would feel uncomfortable talking about being a Christian? They can see, well, mm-hmm. maybe being a Wiccan or something that a lot of people don't understand.
I did that in high school.
Okay. So do you know what I'm saying? So tell me about that. Why would it be uncomfortable to be public about your Christian faith?
Well, the part of New York City that I'm in, it's, you know, my husband's an artist and I'm a writer and our friends are predominantly liberal. And I think Christianity has a very bad rap in this community. I mean, a lot of our friends are gay. A lot of our friends fled heavily Christian parts of the country to come to New York as a kind of refuge for people who thought differently. And so I think to come out around them as and say, oh, by the way, I'm just like those people you grew up around would be very threatening. And so I haven't really mention it around them. And it's just been a very kind of awkward thing whenever religion comes up where they start talking about how stupid people are who believe in God. And
well, hold on a second. Do people actually come out and say, and I will tell you that I'm thinking of a colleague of mine, for example, who professes evangelical Christian faith, who is a reporter friend of mine, who said that colleagues had said to her, wait a minute, you went to college and you believe that?
It's very common right now. The atheism is really on the rise, I think, or sort of vocal atheism because of all these new books and movies. And so I think the people maybe who would have been agnostic before are now sort of militantly atheist. And it just has seeped into, you know, common conversation where they can make this assumption that if you're educated, if you're liberal, if you live in New York, if you're in the arts, that probably you're not going to church on Sunday.
Well, what do you say? In fact, let me read the first line of your piece. You say, it was Sunday morning in my scruffy Brooklyn, New York neighborhood, and I was wearing a dress. Walking to the subway, I ran into a friend heading home from yoga class. She wore sweats and carried her mat over her shoulder. Where are you going so early, all dressed up? She asked, chuckling. To church? We shared a laugh at the absurdity of a liberal New Yorker heading off to worship. The real joke? I totally was. But what about that? Taking it from the other perspective, there are those who would say, it's absurd for you to hide something that you feel is important to you. And how can these people really be your friends if they can't accept you in your totality?
Well, you know, I did eventually come out to her. She is actually the editor of this piece for Salon. She's a very old friend of mine. And, you know, we were having drinks one night and I said, you know, by the way, I just have to tell you, like, I actually was going to church. And she was like, wow. Wow, like it just kind of blew her mind as this really crazy, crazy thing. And she totally understood why I was, you know, secretive about it. And it was sort of an awkward thing where she went back and thought, like, about all the times she'd maybe casually just said, oh, you know, basically just religious people are crazy, because most of the religious people she knew were crazy. And we had, like, a really good conversation about it, and she's still my friend. And so it is one of those things where it just kind of builds up. Like, if you've been hiding it for a long time, then to finally come out, it just is it's a little embarrassing. I mean, it's embarrassing to begin with because, like you said, people who've gone to college are sort of not supposed to be part of this, you know, crowd of believers.
Well, you also go into detail about the things that you say from your own part distress you about a certain kind of religious fervor, right-wing conservatives using the gospel to push their agenda, bombing abortion clinics, the anti-gay marriage movement. So do you find that what your search now is for a middle ground where one can express one's faith without being seen as one of them?
Yes, that's the goal. It occurred to me that religion and this kind of conversation has been really hijacked by both sides. So you have these, you know, the militant Christians who tell everybody who's not thinking the way they are that they're going to hell. And then you have the militant atheists now led by this sort of new atheist movement of Richard Dawkins and all. And you have the two sides just basically both being incredibly vehement in what they believe. And it leaves people who are still struggling to find faith feeling a little bit like a freak who's not represented. So that was why I wanted to do this story.
But on the other hand, there are those who would argue that if one has found something that is truly life-changing and profound, why wouldn't you share it? I mean, the Gospel of Matthew, which, of course, I know you're familiar with, says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. So I think there are those who would argue that you're really not professing your faith if you're not willing to at least own it and declare it.
Yeah, and it's funny because when I talked to my priest, I sort of was expecting her to kind of break out the bushel story and say, you have to tell people. And she said the opposite. You know, I think she quoted St. Francis and said, preach constantly, if necessary, use words.
Well, now that you're out, what do you think is going to be different?
I think probably not that much. I mean, maybe I can relax a little more now, not feeling this obligation to hide it and things being a little bit less awkward, I hope.
Do you think there might be a middle ground, as it were, between, how can we put it, a sort of a bullying, a belligerent faith and a passive faith that allows itself to be ignored?
That's my hope. I mean, I'm very happy not ever talking about it. I mean, I feel like socially it's one of those things like, you know, finances or sex that you're not supposed to talk about at dinner parties. And I'm totally in favor of that. I think basically like I would really just as soon never, ever talk about it.
But isn't it fundamentally inauthentic to not claim a part of your, which presumably has some deep meaning to you? I mean, it's like not talking about your kids, isn't it?
There's something to be said for not talking about your kids too much, too, I think. You know, I think a lot of things that are really personal, you talk about with your closest friends, you don't necessarily share with everybody. I just wrote a parenting book called Instinctive Parenting that's coming out in March from Simon & Schuster. And one thing I think is that the parenting culture has really taken over in this way, too, where people want to talk about their kids constantly. And, you know, again, like most of our friends don't have children. And I think that can be pretty annoying, too.
Maybe that's your next book, an etiquette book.
I'm actually doing an etiquette book now. It's so funny. I'm working with Tim Gunn from Project Runway. He's writing an etiquette book. And I'm helping him with that.
Humility is in the Bible, too, you know.
It sure is.
Just thought I'd mention it. Ada Calhoun is a writer born and raised in New York City. Her first book, Instinctive Parenting, Trusting Ourselves to Raise Good Kids, is being published in March. She joined us from our bureau in New York. If you want to read the piece that we're talking about, we'll have a link on our website. Just go to npr.org, click on programs, then on Tell Me More. Ada Calhoun, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks so much for having me.